In a world filled with big sports companies and high-end production podcasts, comes a group of guys who paid $5 for this intro. Welcome to Eat, Sleep, Fantasy.
Me, I'm all the way up.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back to another episode of Eat, Sleep, Fantasy. Oh, my goodness. For a guy who has Hispanic parents, I do dance like a white boy. So that's definitely...
That song is hype.
That's very... Oh, God. Well, at least I don't sound like Dale.
That was great. What a tune that was.
Why is it the 1920s?
I'm like the nasaliest sounding white boy, I think, ever on a podcast.
Before we move into all the ridiculousness of our podcast, I'm Christian Brito.
My name is Jeff.
You can find me at CBrito Fantasy on Twitter. With me tonight is Mr. Dale DeMott. What's up, Dale?
Fuck you, Dale! Fuck you!
Yeah, man, I'm excited for this episode. Welcome to Eat Sleep Fantasy. Did you say our podcast name?
No, I'm getting to that. You could find Dale at Dale_Fantasy. You could find our podcast on Twitter at Eat Sleep FF. And that's right. Basically, we're just we're the other podcast that you listen to, right? So yeah, yeah. We're the guys that bring you fantasy football with a little bit of entertainment with it. Hopefully. I mean, we think
half the time
we think so, but that's just us and our own comedic sensibilities or whatever.
No,
they might be.
No,
a little
you
bit,
can't say. No, hold on.
Like, that's what we find funny, and might not necessarily be what the audience finds funny.
Right.
As we've seen by some of our Twitter polls already. So.
Yeah, we are a podcast that, you know.
Is going down in flames. Where a podcast is going down in flames.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we're definitely going down in flames. We're getting sued by Fat Joe big time. You know, we do listen to a couple other podcasts, and you might notice as a listener, you know, that we, the podcast, fantasy sports in general, I think, becomes a little bit of an echo chamber, right? I mean, there's basically the same news, just different reaction to it. So all that we're trying to do is kind of bring you a different reaction. Maybe, you know, the numbers are all the same. Anybody can go online and research numbers. We take the time to do it for you. So that's a value that we can bring to you. You don't have to go and research everything. We can try to bring a little bit of entertainment with some of the numbers and facts that you need for your fantasy weekend.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, ain't no other podcasts out there sucking their own dick.
Nope. And if anybody else is doing it, they stole it from us.
If anyone else is doing it, they need to teach me how to do that.
Just suck on my dick. Suck on my own dick. No, you know, the bit.
Oh, the drop. Okay. All right, so we've got some pretty... This is our nerdy episode of the week. We're going to be talking a lot of numbers. So we got to keep it a little bit light as we do it. If not, people might fall asleep if you're not as nerdy as Dale and I am. Because we're going to be talking about running back touch numbers. We're going to be talking about targets and kind of getting an idea of where some of these opportunities are after 3 weeks in fantasy. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to fantasy football, opportunity is king. Like, you can be the most talented guy in the world, but if you don't get the opportunity, that's irrelevant. So we're going to be talking about opportunities, and we just want to clear up some of the news, some of the stuff in case you missed it. So Dale, you want to go ahead and jump right into the news?
Yeah, let's do it.
News and notes.
First piece of news, you know, hot off the presses, JJ Watt's season is likely over at this point. NFL's Ian Rappaport's reporting that he re-injured his back, could miss the remainder of 2016 season. So kind of affects the Texans' defense a little bit.
Kinda, yeah.
You know, so there's
they're just not as scary as they are with JJ Watt.
They're not as scary, but I actually wouldn't like drop them, at least not right now, because they're playing the Titans this week. Yep. And that kind of goes along with my philosophy. Now, if they do not do well against the Titans, which everyone has so far this year, you know, even the Raiders that were at negative points in some leagues did well against them. If they don't, then you can drop them. But yep. If you play in an IDP league, which we don't do here on this podcast, but if you do, you can probably go ahead and drop J.J. Watt now.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Next piece of news, still no update on Dez Bryant's knee. Jerry Jones said that there was, his words were, quote unquote, no update. So
thanks,
Jerry. He was unsure if Bryant had had an MRI yet on his knee, but could have one. So thank you.
Yeah. You know, after week two, and he was targeted a ton in week two, being injured last week is just going to, sucks because you're kind of hoping that, you know, Dak Prescott would be opening it up a little bit and hitting them down the field a little bit more, but that ain't happening.
For those of you that have been waiting for Tyler Eifert this season, Marvin Lewis has said that he's close to be coming back for a return, but it's unlikely that he's going to play in week four since it is a Thursday night game for them at home against the Dolphins. So, you know, probably one more week for Tyler Eifert. And, you know, sucks because it probably would have been a pretty decent matchup against the Dolphins. But one more week for Eifert, and I think he'll be good to go.
Yeah.
As far as Jamaal Charles, same report we've heard over the first 3 weeks. Jamaal Charles has a, quote, chance to play in week four.
Andy Reid said this, I think, in the preseason.
Right.
So, yeah, keep Spencer Ware on your team.
Credit to the fantasy doc that said that it could take a little while longer as this started to linger into the preseason.
Yeah.
So that it could take a little while longer if that's what was occurring. So, you know, there's a possibility he'll make his debut this week. I'd be optimistic, but I probably wouldn't play him this week.
No. No, I'm not playing until I see a full game. You don't know how they're going to ease into him. I mean, even just the way that they've eased, quote-unquote, eased his way back onto the field. Yeah, you're waiting to see how he plays.
It's a decent matchup against the Steelers. I mean, we just saw kind of, you know, what Sproles was able to do, at least in the receiving game. Yeah. For running backs that catch the ball, and that's definitely Charles's wheelhouse. But you know, if he's out there, I'd probably still not play him unless you had no other options.
Right.
In case you missed it, Jeremy Langford is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. Right now, it looks like Jordan Howard is going to be the starter.
Yep.
How's that feel, Dale?
Sucks. I'm
going to wait till you remember the name.
Holy shit.
I'm letting this just sit.
No. Jeremy Langford.
Oh, okay. All right.
it sucks.
I'm sorry for not providing any help for you there.
Thank you.
The awakening is real. The Christian Michael awakening.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I'm getting tired of that phrase everywhere.
Yeah.
But Thomas Rawls looks like he's going to be out for a few weeks with a fibula issue. That doesn't sound like a minor thing, by the way, even though
it doesn't.
It's a hairline fracture of his fibula. Like,
yeah, that's not good.
That's not good. We need to ask the doctor about that later this week, how long he expects him to be out. But that sounds like more than just a little while. And
fibula is pretty important.
Yes. It's a great way to put it, Dale.
Yep, thanks.
Reports are that Gates was probably a little bit more injured with his hamstring than initially expected and is now expected to miss an extended amount of time. At this point, there's a lot of tight ends out there that you could probably pick up, and I would probably go ahead and drop Antonio Gates if you're still holding on to him. And you mentioned, you know, if you want to take a stab at Hunter Henry, you know, if you're a deeper league or something like that. Personally, I think there's other better options. There's Rudolph out there in a lot of leagues. Pitta's out there in a lot of leagues. Jesse James is out there in a lot of leagues. So I would definitely take those guys over as my wife decides to go ahead and just peek in for some reason.
I mean, Hunter Henry, I think, is a deep option if you are desperate. I mean, Phillip Rivers likes his tight ends, right? I mean, we saw it with Antonio Gates and then with Ladarius Green.
Yep.
And Hunter Henry. I mean, he had 5 targets last week. That's nothing to shake your head at.
Honestly, I mean, he needs people to throw the ball to, and Hunter Henry, even though he's a rookie, will get some opportunities. I've just, if there's any position that's very difficult for rookies, it's tight ends. So I would very much temper my expectations for anything for Hunter Henry. I think his ceiling is capped, but he may have a decent enough floor that you'll be willing to roll him out there for the 4 or 5 or 6 points that he might give you.
Yeah, I agree.
Shane Vereen is out for the 2016 season. You know, right now, Darkwa was listed as the backup to Rashad Jennings. Rashad Jennings is expected to play this week. However, there's a little bit of hype that's been coming out that, oh God, no, I'm,
Paul Perkins.
Yeah, I was about to do it myself right there. That, yeah. Paul Perkins, no, but I had it. I had it, okay?
Sure you did.
I did. I could do this, man. Rashad Jennings, Shane Vereen, Orleans Dakwar, Darkwa, Paul Perkins, and Bobby Rainey, because I know the ridiculousness that is the New York Giants backfield.
Yeah. Even with one running back injured, you think, oh, that could clear it up, but it doesn't at all because there's still mediocre talent, you know, swimming around. So
you kind of hope that Paul Perkins can kind of rise to the top here. Especially if Shane Vereen, I mean, I'm sorry, if Rashad Jennings should miss any time. Looking like Jennings is going to play this week. But I would, take a little stab at Dark War Perkins in your league. So I think it's definitely worth a stash. Because Shane Vereen was definitely getting plenty of touches. Even with Jennings getting the lead, there's too many names, man.
Yeah,
there's too many names.
There's just way too much. I mean, yeah, Perkins, we won't waste too much time on this, but if you are going to invest 4 or 5 weeks in a player, Perkins would be a pretty good investment, I think. Don't expect him to break out next week.
Not necessarily fantasy related for us, but Manti Te'o has been catfished by his Achilles.
I see what you did there. Man, that was a sad story.
That was a hilarious story.
You feel bad.
I don't. I thought it was the most intriguing story.
Oh, yeah. No, I spent hours and hours reading about it online.
Yeah. That sounds like something you would do.
It is. I know. Okay. We can move on.
And then for the hype that was surrounding Eli Rogers, he's got a toe injury. We'll see how that progresses. But I think, I worry that Eli Rogers' value is probably going to dissipate a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Marcus Wheaton had some good opportunity, dropped a touchdown, and I think, you know, even though he had a couple drops last game, I think he's just gonna kind of push Eli Rogers out of the way.
Dear NFL.com, okay, listen here, all right, this is now the 4th or 5th podcast in the history of our podcast that I'm complaining about your advertising. It's too much. Please stop the autoplays on every single page. I can't look up a player on your website. I'm going to take my service to another league.
No, you won't. And they know that.
I probably will.
Ooh, those are fighting words.
We already have our listener league on Fantrax.
That's true. Big ups to Fantrax, fantrax.com.
All right, so that's going to wrap it up for the news. Let's go ahead and get into some of the targets and touches, touching on targets. Touching my target.
No, none of that works.
Touching you. Okay, I don't know. Sorry.
Touches and targets.
No, don't. Oh, just play the touching me, touching you from Sweet Caroline from Neil Diamond. Just put that in.
Okay. Thank sure. You. Whatever you say.
You're not going to put it, are you?
No. Let's talk about some of the targets here I guess we got to kind of go through
weeks. Ba.
Jesus. That probably hurt a lot of people's ears.
Please put the drop in.
Yes.
You're not going to put it in here now. Put it now. Okay. Do it now. All right, we're back from that drop. I'm basically forcing you to either put the drop in.
Yes, I know.
Or cut all of this.
We're going to have to cut the whole thing.
I'm sorry. I'm in a good mood, man. We're talking about fantasy football on a show that, for some reason, people actually listen to.
Let's talk about targeted players here. The most targeted players are week three. I can kind of quickly break down the targets for week three and maybe look at their averages to see where they're trending and how they're going. Looking at week three for we'll start off with the wide receivers here. I'll go through the wide receivers and tight ends here. The top wide receiver, you guessed it, is Antonio Brown. He had 18 targets after 11 for game one and 11 for game two. I'm expecting, you know, at least 10 targets a game for the rest of the season, right? He's averaging 13 now, and he's probably going to keep that average up.
Yep. That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Yeah. A couple guys, I'm just going to note a couple guys that had a lot of targets compared to the first two games, and you can kind of input your thoughts on these as I go down the list here. But Kevin White had 7 targets and 6 targets, and in the last game he had 14 targets, but tied for the second most targets in wide receivers week three.
Yeah.
Kevin White, anything important to you?
As the season grows, it's, you know, he's basically a rookie, right? Even though he was technically a rookie last year, he's basically a rookie, and I would expect him to get better as the season progresses. He only caught 6 of those 14 targets for 62 yards, but it seems like Brian Hoyer likes him and likes Miller.
Yeah,
it took me a second. I'm bad with names, so for me being bad with names and having a show where all I have to do is talk about names is a little bit difficult.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah.
But I'm doing it off the dome, man. So, you know, Zach Miller and Kevin White got a lot of targets this week, and were both pretty productive. You know, I think it speaks well for him. Maybe a little bit poorly for Alshon Jeffrey for the future, as long as Brian Hoyer's in there.
Mm-hmm. When I drafted Kevin White, I knew he wasn't going to be an immediate impact kind of guy. I was expecting a 3, 4, 5 game investment in him to see what he's doing. Don't give up on Kevin White yet. He hasn't produced the big numbers that maybe you thought the Bears number two would produce, but give him a little bit of time. 14 targets is a good sign that he's trending up. The other guy to note is Emmanuel Sanders. Trevor Siemian showed up last week in a big way. Trevor Siemian, by the way, still hasn't thrown an interception through three games. And Emmanuel Sanders had 13 targets, beat out his guy on the other side of the field, Demaryius Thomas. Your thoughts on Emmanuel Sanders? We kind of talked about this a little bit yesterday on the podcast. You're not taking Sanders over Demaryius Thomas yet, are you?
I'm not, but they're, you know, it's getting kind of close. I still think Thomas is the better talent. And even though he has a little bit less targets, which was pretty clear in week three, I would still rather have Thomas. But, you know, definitely move Thomas down a little bit and Sanders up a little bit. You know, they're closer now.
Sanders out-targeted Thomas every game this season so far. Yep. And Sanders has 10 more total targets than Thomas. So the trend looks like Sanders is going to be the number one producer there. So slowly and slowly, that gap from pre-draft to now is closing big time. Right. If he can keep this up, especially.
I mean, you know, the yards have been there, at least for Demaryius the past 2 weeks, with 90 yards and 100 yards in the past 2 weeks. You know, I think they're both viable options. Let's remember the first 2 weeks, even though Sanders got 8 targets each, it was only for 49 and 39 yards. His first good yardage game came last game. So, he's still running shorter routes. Demaryius is still the bigger play guy, and I would kind of expect the target numbers to be pretty even, with Demaryius having higher production, but not by much.
Right. One guy to note here, another guy that kind of just jumped out at me. Marvin Jones had 8 targets last game when he exploded for the 200 plus yards. Any thoughts to his target production? He's just fine, right? No matter how, I mean, he's going to make plays, and he's a touchdown guy.
Yeah, sorry. He's been highly targeted the first 2 weeks, and only 8 targets, I guess, is what you want to word it as in the third week. Still incredibly productive. The first 2 weeks, they went for him deep and in the end zone several times. It just didn't connect, and that was the difference between week 1 and 2 versus week 3. And it's just going to be like that. Some weeks he will and won't have those touchdowns, but the targets and yardage have been there every week.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of guys that have been very consistent that you might not, you know, that might not jump out of the page at you. Larry Fitzgerald, he had 10, 11, and 12 targets the first 3 games, averaging 11 targets per game. Very consistent, more targets than I thought just by watching the games.
Right. And, you know, clearly out-targeted the first 2 weeks. The other guys, the third week, everybody else was a little bit closer. With Michael Floyd having 11 and John Brown also having 11. I still, you know, it's starting to look like it's going to be a lot like last year.
Yeah, you think so?
33 targets through 3 weeks, man. Yeah. Like, he's Carson Palmer's number one guy. And yeah. And I think it's becoming a little bit clear that Arizona's offense may not exactly be what we thought it could be this year. Palmer seems to have regressed a little bit. But I still like Larry Fitzgerald a lot going forward. And he's a guy that, even though his value is a little bit high right now, I would still be willing to buy on him if I could, because some people probably won't believe in it and are thinking they're selling high, when I think it's going to continue to be a pretty good season. Maybe not a top 5 season like he's having right now, but a pretty good, solid wide receiver, like a high-end 2 for the rest of the year.
Yeah. You want to take a stab on who is the leading targeted receiver on the Baltimore Ravens?
Steve Smith.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was totally. You know, for as much as I like to suck my own dick, I'm totally wrong here.
Yeah. Yeah. You are totally wrong.
Fine. That's fine. That happens, man. I can't be.
It does happen. Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, I'm right, you're wrong.
Still better than some other people out here in the fantasy community. Just want to throw that out there.
Steve Smith has just as many targets over 3 games as Brandon Cooks does.
I'm referring to Armando.
Yeah, of course.
It's a joke, Armando. Calm down.
Steve Smith targeted just as many times as Brandon Cooks. Of course, Brandon Cooks has a lot more weapons to fight for the ball. But I think that was a surprising number there. Steve Smith had 11 targets week 3. He's averaging 8.7 targets per game. I imagine it's going to be somewhere between 7 and 8 targets per game on average. I wouldn't be surprised if that average goes down a little bit. He had a big game last game.
Continuing on with the guys that have the same number as Steve Smith, like, I want to talk about Jordan Matthews, because after week 1, he looked amazing with 14 targets. Second week with 9 targets. Coming into week 3, he only had, in week 3, he only had 3 targets. Granted, he got one of them for a touchdown, so your fantasy day was okay, but only 2 catches for 19 yards. How are you feeling if you're a Jordan Matthews owner? Because he looked good first 2 weeks, 114 yards first week, 71 yards second week.
Yeah, you know, I am a little nervous. One thing that has going for him is his schedule coming up. Of course, he has a bye week 4. So don't start him this week. I guess he got bailed out by a touchdown, right? Like you said, 19 yards, 1 touchdown. I am concerned. I'm trying to trade him. I'm trying to unload him in the league that I have him in. But if you can't, the schedule is pretty favorable. Detroit and Washington, next 2 games after the bye. So
I think I'd keep him. You're not going to get nearly as much. For some reason, Jordan Matthews is kind of like this always undervalued guy. He'll be fine.
Yeah. And it kind of sucks that Carson Wentz' best game is Jordan Matthews' worst.
Yeah. It's a little weird, but that's not... I think he'll still be fine.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz looks like he's decent enough to carry you know, some fantasy production for his wide receiver one.
Yeah, and he's another guy who hasn't thrown, is still no interceptions this year. 300 yards for Carson Wentz and 2 touchdowns, and only 17 of them went to Jordan Matthews. But he did get a touchdown to him, so I guess that saves him, right?
Yep. All right, next guy.
Yeah, I guess those are the guys who really jumped out to me as far as targets go. Everybody else, you kind of know. I won't, you know, Terrell Pryor, his targets have gone up from 7 to 10 to 14. That's a good trending direction, averaging 10 targets a game so far through 3 games. He's worth a pickup if he's still on your waiver wire.
There's one more guy I want to talk about before.
Sure, who's that?
Are you worried at all about Julio Jones? Most targeted guy last year, and his targets for this year, 8, 5, and 7. Only one catch in the Monday night game. Worried?
Yeah, you know, the Monday night game had me a little worried. I mean, he should have done something against that New Orleans defense for sure. Yeah, I am worried. This morning I have him in the league, and this morning I went out and sent out multiple trades trying to get, you know, anything of value for him. I haven't gotten anything back yet, but I think everybody else got a little bit scared, gun-shy as well.
Yeah, you think it had anything to do with kind of like the game flow where Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman just went off? Just
took over. Yeah,
I mean, the running backs combined for almost 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. Julio was still the highest targeted guy, right? Matt Ryan seemed like he just wanted to spread the ball around, keep it safe. The running game was very effective. The Saints probably seemed like they were trying to hone in on Julio, with Freeman being the next highest targeted guy with 5 catches on the day. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll chalk this up to one of those games.
Yeah, I mean, you got to believe in Julio Jones, right? As long as his...
Which is it, Dale? Which is it? Are you selling or do you believe in him?
I am kind of wishy-washy, aren't I?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I still believe.
Look, you're not going to sell him high, and you don't want to give him up. So you got to keep him on your team, I guess, is the moral of the story. I mean, Mohamed Sanu, he only had 4 targets compared to Julio Jones, 7.
Yep.
So it's not like Jones is the forgotten guy all of a sudden. He just wasn't getting the ball. Nobody on that offense was, receivers-wise.
Yep. All right, so let's move on to, you want to do running backs or tight ends here?
Let's do some tight ends. we'll do some tight end target numbers.
Again, those little immature laughs on other podcasts, are you?
You want to take a guess who the most targeted tight end of the week was for week 3?
Of the week? Was it my boy? Oh, no, hold on. My boy was second. Number one was Fleener.
Yeah, Fleener Wiener. Fleener had 11 targets, kind of stepping it up. He had 4 in week 1, 8 in week 2, and 11 in week 3. So they're getting him more and more involved every week. I was not a Fleener believer. That was not intended, by the way, that little rhyme.
You know what? I almost forgot, Dale. You thought I was going to forget, didn't you?
I'll wrap some at the end of the episode. How about that?
All right. All right, so Dale is going to be presenting his own little rap, straight off the dome, freestyle.
Straight off the dome.
At the end of the pod. If you want to fast forward to that part and then come back, I don't blame you. So I'll give you a second to do that. Welcome back. I know that was awful.
So going back to the tight end targets.
That was like time travel right now.
Yeah,
it's cool, right? Like, I didn't even hear it, but I know it's going to be bad.
Or people just fast-forwarded and episode ended, and they just shut us off. And so this is all pointless. So thanks for doing that to our podcast, ruining it once again.
No, but think about it, man. Like, they fast-forwarded, and then they came back in time. They had to go 88 miles an hour, right?
So there's 3 guys that are pretty consistent with their targets. Greg Olsen, he's averaging 9 targets a game. Kyle Rudolph is averaging 8.7 targets per game. And Kobe Fleener is kind of right up there. I mean, he had a bad week 1, but his numbers are showing us that maybe he can be that tight end 1 that some of you were hoping for.
Yep. Jordan Reed's up there with Travis Kelce, like you said, just kind of consistent every week for those 2 guys. I want to lump in Kelce because just the epitome of he's going to give you the same thing almost every week. It's never going to be great. It's never going to be terrible. It's just going to be good enough.
He had exactly 7 targets every game that he's played this year so far.
Yep.
Another guy that I kind of want to talk about is Cameron Brate. With Austin Seferian Jenkins cut from the Tampa Bay Bucks, Cameron Brate has come in, and he definitely got his hefty share of targets. 10 targets in week 3, tied second most within tight ends. Are you picking up Cameron Brate? Are you trusting him week 4 if you need him?
I would. I mean, Seferian Jenkins is gone. It does not seem like the whole love for Vincent Jackson is exactly panning out. I like Cameron Brate in this offense. You know, I think between him and Humphreys, it's going to split some of that, you know, second to third receiver kind of work. And it's good enough to be a okay, you know, fill-in tight end. It's not an elite option, but it's good enough. I mean, if you're getting 10 targets in a game, that's going to be good. Right. But he's going to be one of those 5 to 8 target guys, which will be good enough production.
Yep, I agree. By the way, Kobe Fleener, his average targets are now 5th within tight ends for the season through 3 weeks.
I know you just glanced over. I know you already mentioned him, but can we just give a little bit more credit to Kyle Rudolph? 8 and 10.
Yeah, that's great.
Only one target behind Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
If he continues to get targeted like that, he's going to finish as a top 5 tight end.
I agree.
Let's just see if it continues. That's all.
Yeah. I don't have much to talk about tight ends. I have one last guy I want to talk about, and that's Jason Witten. He's definitely trending in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I would drop him. I would drop him.
After 14 weeks of being after the first week being targeted 14 times.
After 14 weeks, Dale, because we like to time travel on this show.
So 14, 4, and 2 is the first 3 weeks. Not looking good. Luckily, if you have, you know, if you did pick up Cole Beasley, at least his target stayed up, but Jason Witten's went down. You expecting it to stay down or what?
Yes. I just said I would drop Jason Witten. Come on, man.
You just drop him. I mean, I know you said that, but you just flat out drop him.
I said that. We have a drop for that, too. Hey, I'm getting better with the drops.
Okay. Hey, I got a live breaking news.
Oh, yeah? Let us know.
I'm in one of,
do we have I'm a breaking my... news? Hold on. Do we have a breaking news drop?
Yes.
Breaking news.
Oh, breaking news.
In one of my leagues, a trade just went down. Lamar Miller for LeGarrette Blount. Who wins?
Lamar Miller, dude.
Yeah.
That's a bad trade.
Well, thank you, because I had LeGarrette Blount and I just unloaded him.
For Lamar Miller, straight up?
Yeah, straight up.
Wow, that guy. You threw a handy in?
Well, you know, I mean, that's a perfect example of I sold high on Blount and I bought low on Miller.
All right, guys, if you own Miller, based on Dale's history with the guys on his team getting injured,
he's doomed.
He's fucking doomed. I am, damn it, dude. I'm just going to go ahead and put him 80th in my rankings for this week.
I'm pretty excited about that. I can't unload Blount in any of the leagues I have. I know it's about time for him to start.
That's a great trade. I'm proud of you, Dale. I think
so. Thank you, sir. Okay, going back, so we're pretty much done with tight ends. You have anybody else to mention? Obviously, Zach Miller, we talked about. His targets spiked with 9 last week. I expect Zach Miller to be heavily involved, especially with Jay Cutler out.
Nope, that's good. I do want to talk about some running back touch numbers now. Touching on some running backs. Oh, I just made that weird.
Okay. Let's talk about some of your... No, that's not weird.
I made it sexy.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what's happening right now? Guess what's happening? Another annoying autoplay ad.
Quit looking at NFL. Do your own research.
You'd think it's NFL.
Yeah. Oh, is it all the pop-ups that just came?
Whoa, there's 5 singles that are horny within 1 mile radius of my home. I'm sorry. I was distracted. I wanted to look at my own fantasy team right now. So
It's not time to be distracted because we are recording a podcast that people are relying on us to give them the best.
Oh, I just wanted to see what I could trade you for LeGarrette Blount. You want to try to get a deal done on the air?
No.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Dale.
It's like the most boring thing for like people to talk about their fantasy teams. Like, to talk about an individual trade is one thing, but say, oh, look who I got. He didn't do well.
All right, running back such numbers, week three. A lot of split work for Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman still. 15 touches for Coleman, 19 for Freeman. All I'm going to say is...
Can you qualify the touch numbers?
What do you mean? You want to hear the rushes and the receptions?
No, I'm saying the touching is... the touches, total touches is just receiving and rushing, correct?
Right. If you want, I could break them down, too. So Devontae
Freeman... No, you don't have to. I don't care.
All right. Devontae Freeman had 14 rushes and 5 receptions, and Coleman had 12 rushes and 3 receptions. This is a kind of, I don't know how to feel game as a Devonta Freeman owner in two leagues and a Coleman owner in another, because Freeman was so much better with the ball.
10.9 yards per carry. 10.9. That almost looks like a typo.
To Tevin Coleman's 3.5. But look at the other thing that looks like a typo right next to Coleman's 3.5 yards per carry is his 3 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, so Coleman gets a touchdown every 4 carries.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
so who do you roll with?
I'm still rolling with Freeman. I mean, he's been good enough. I started him the first week was the only frustrating week, and neither one of them really was good. But Coleman had that one nice reception, which kind of saved his fantasy day a little bit. I like Freeman a lot, man. 207 total yards. He's still getting the touches. Like, he got 19 touches. Can you really be upset with that?
No.
They're going to split work, and they're pretty much like they're going to both be effective. I just don't, you know, Freeman's not a 1 anymore, right? But he's a very nice, solid, high-end 2.
Absolutely. I was going to say Freeman is a RB2 and Coleman is a flex. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And in this matchup, right? Like, I ranked Freeman as a 1. I ranked Freeman as my number 4 running back this past week. And I think I ranked Coleman as a flex play because they're playing the Saints, right? So going forward, they're going to be similar to that. And I think you can kind of roll with both. I still think it's a little bit riskier to roll with Coleman for right now, but he's shown that he's going to be a viable option.
Yeah, I agree.
In the preseason, I think the way I would break it down is I think Freeman still has a ton of value, and I think that was a decent call earlier, you know, in the offseason. I think where I may have been wrong is Coleman has a lot more value than I thought they would, because the offense seems to be rolling a lot with their running backs and using them both a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of remind me, I don't know, they describe them as a... the thunder and lightning last night.
You know who's not thunder and lightning?
Who?
Justin Forsett and Terrence West.
That was a great segue, Dale. That was a great segue to the next guys on our list.
These numbers, it's like, man.
Did you say these numbers? I thought you were gonna say these nuts for a second. Got him.
West had 3 more carries than Justin Forsett. Justin Forsett had a couple extra receptions, 6-1, to kind of even it out a little bit. Neither of them scored.
Don't want any part of this. That's it.
No, you don't. It's just a mess. Yeah.
For the Carolina Panthers, in the absence of Jonathan Stewart, Cameron Artis Payne out-touched Fozzie Whitaker 13-10. And they were almost exactly the same, 58 yards to 56 yards. Timeshare, basically.
Yep.
I don't really want either one.
I'm sorry to kind of break the... to break this, but did you just get the text from Armando? He asked if we were going to record tonight. Oops.
We got so used to not recording with him.
Should we bring him on or just forget it?
Let's give him a call. All right. All right. So we went ahead and called Armando. So joining us now is Armando Crespo.
What's up, guys?
What's up, dude?
I'm the reigning listener league leader between us four. So I should be on the podcast.
You know, yeah, I want to give a quick update because I'm a little, I don't know.
Update at the end? Can we finish talking about these numbers?
No. We're going to give the update because
people
hate us.
People hate this.
I am the highest scoring team in my league and I'm 1-2. It's very frustrating.
Oh, I know, Brito. I know. Trust me.
That one year you were the highest scoring guy and you missed the playoffs.
Yeah. Out of six.
6-7 record. I feel like that's going to happen to me in the Listener League, and I'm going to get blamed, and I'm going to have the highest scoring team, but I'm going to go like 6-7 and miss the playoffs. All right, let's get back into some of these running back touch numbers. You know, for the next guy I want to talk about, for the people that are worried about Alfred Morris, you know, scoring that touchdown at the end of the game and Lance Dunbar having a touchdown and Ezekiel Elliott not finding pay dirt, Ezekiel Elliott got 32 touches compared to Alfred Morris's 6 and Lance Dunbar's 1. So that's kind of just a circumstance, happenstance that the other two guys scored and Elliott didn't. 32 touches, 160 yards, 30 of them rushes for 140 yards. Like, I'm pretty happy with Elliott's production, even though he didn't get into the end zone.
Yeah. Armando, are you connected yet? Another team I want to talk about. I'm really interested to see what you guys think about this. The Detroit Lions backfield with Theo Riddick and Dwayne Washington. Obviously, Dwayne Washington is more of the run between the tackles type running back, given he is a rookie. And then Theo Riddick, who I guess can not very effectively run between the tackles, but a great pass catcher and great on the outside. Yep. Where are we ranking these running backs for the rest of the season? How do you see this panning out?
I'm moving Riddick back to wherever I had him before this game, to when Amir Abdullah was still playing, which is a flex worthy guy and a much higher value in a PPR league. But he clearly cannot handle in between the tackles work. I mean, he had 10 carries for 9 yards.
Yeah.
When you can't get a yard per carry, Dale can probably suit up and go on the field and get a yard. No, never mind.
No, I probably couldn't.
You could suit up for the NBA, right, though? Yeah?
If I didn't have my knee problems, probably.
That disease that doesn't exist.
But yeah, my thinking here is Theo Riddick won't go back to where he was with when Abdullah was in. I think he's going to be a little bit better, and I think Dwayne Washington is not going to be as good as Abdullah. So I think that, you know, it's just going to slide that way a little bit, right?
Yep. Well, I kind of want to say one thing about this. So what I've read so far about Dwayne Washington is that he has the same build and skill set. I'm not saying he is David Johnson, but has the same build and skill set as David Johnson. So they're pretty excited what they have in Dwayne Washington from what I've read and heard. Dwayne Johnson. what's his name? Dwayne Washington. So I feel like Theo Riddick's value is at all-time high. So if you have him, trade him now. And I feel like he's going to eat into Theo Riddick's value dramatically.
So you're smelling what he's cooking is what you're saying.
Yep. I'm all about that.
All right. Well, what other teams do you guys want to talk about? I think Kansas City Chiefs, not very interesting right now. It's pretty much a Spencer Ware show.
Yeah, Spencer Ware show until Charles comes back and then probably split.
Have you guys talked about the Dolphins situation and the
No, let's talk about Dolphins, though.
Well, I just want to say all I've heard is that they're going to a 4-man rotation. So if you have any Dolphins besides Arian Foster, just don't bother starting any of them.
It's a hot hand situation, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like the Giants. Just way too many running backs that can do just enough to stay on the roster and play in the game.
Well, I mean, that's last year's Giants. This year they're going with a one-man rotation practically. You know, besides the pass catching back, you know, they're kind of dedicating themselves to one guy.
You know, they have Jennings and
it's been like a 60-40 with the passing downs back getting decent amount of touches. But yeah, I hear what you both are saying.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Have you guys talked about Bobby Rainey yet? Because he is a deep sleeper that some people should pick up depending on the format of their leagues. He's going to pick up the Shane Vereen role, and in that offense, that's really valuable.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Shane Vereen wasn't super valuable to begin with.
I mean, last week, if he was amazing, and I don't know, Rashad Jennings isn't an all-star running back. There's a chance that Darkwood can take over, or even Bobby Rainey, who has some sort of
talent.
I think
if anybody takes over, it'll be Paul Perkins.
Yeah, but he's only playing special teams right now, so if they move him into the actual offense, then I'll
be
interested.
Fair enough, yep. All right, here's one I really want to talk about. TJ Yeldon and Chris Ivory. We're totally out on TJ Yeldon at this point, right?
Yes.
I'm not. I'm a TJ Yeldon.
Except,
believer.
Yeah, you just dropped him in your league of record.
I dropped him in all my leagues of record. I do believe the only reason why I still believe in TJ Yeldon is because Chris Ivory didn't leave the game.
Right.
He played through it, but he is injured ankle and knee. So, you know, if you have him, hold on to him. I mean, maybe he shows up finally or shows his draft value maybe, but you know, I'm still holding on to him in my head at least.
All right. I got a trivia question here for you guys. Who's in week three, who was the lead total touches in the backfield for the Philadelphia Eagles? You should probably know this. Wendell Smallwood.
Yep. Sorry.
Yeah. He had 49% of the backfield touches, the running back touches. That's pretty surprising. 17 total touches for him, 17 rushes. Man, that's kind of a mess too, right? I mean, what?
I'm staying away from all of them, including if you have Ryan Matthews, sell him. And that's pretty much it. Don't bother with Darren Sproles. I mean, in my opinion, just stay away from all of the.
I mean, they all looked good outside of Ryan Matthews.
Right. I mean, Darren Sproles had 6 receptions for 128 yards and a touchdown.
Kenyon Barner got in with 42 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, they produce. It's just, I think week to week we're going to be looking at who's going to do the work and who's going to produce. I think at best it'll be a crapshoot.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to put your money in anyone, it's Darren Sproles. But, I mean, overall I'm just going to avoid it if I can. Yeah.
I want to give you guys an interesting one because when it comes to the Steelers, I mean, every single game that it's been D'Angelo Williams getting over 90% of the touches every week. This past week was no exception, 92%. Week 4, Le'Veon Bell's coming back. Does D'Angelo Williams get any work, in your opinion?
Yes.
No.
And I said this in preseason, if you guys remember. I think D'Angelo Williams will eat into his time a little bit. I don't think that they go and forget him like they did last year. I bet it's a little bit – okay, it's not going to be a 50-50 split. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell is the man, but
– if it's 80-20, it doesn't make a difference to me. That is perfect. If he's getting 80-20, that's fine. I'd rather have him get a little
– my prediction would be like 65-35.
Yeah, I would say 80-20. I don't see D'Angelo going forward having more than 20% of the work.
Okay, I say he gets more than 20% of the work. Anybody want to take that eat bet?
I'm not taking that bet.
More than 25%?
Dale, you realize you have the lowest percentage
I've also
board right now.
Wagered the least amount, too.
If you go to 30%, I'll take that bet.
29%. I'll take the over on 29%.
You'll take the over on 29% for D'Angelo Williams running back touches.
Total touches, yep.
With Le'Veon Bell on the field.
Yes, starting week 4. Yeah.
I'm just saying if he gets injured, then obviously that bet kind of goes out the window.
Same thing with D'Angelo Williams if he's injured.
All right. Assuming they start the game, I guess is fair. Start and finish the game?
Sure.
Yeah.
D'Angelo Williams will have less than 29% of the running back shares. We'll help you with this bet, Kenneth. Because this is a complicated ass one.
No, it's not really. I take the over on 29%. And
I take the under.
On 29%.
And I'm Christian. And that's an eat bet.
Eat bet.
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
I just
You have a piece of paper.
Just chewed on a water bottle for the purpose of the show.
Oh,
did that sound horrible?
No, no, it's fine. The last team I want to talk about is the San Diego Chargers. Not much to talk about right now. Melvin Gordon is dominating the touches, obviously, 91% of the touches in San Diego. But I think Dexter McCluster starts learning the playbook a little bit more. Maybe not next week, but I give him another 2 weeks. And all those receptions that Melvin Gordon had are going to go to McCluster plus some. You guys agree?
Disagree completely. I feel like Dexter McCluster is going to be a non-factor. If anything, he might go, you know, maybe 10%, and that's fine. I don't want Melvin Gordon getting all the carries. I want him to last all season. Yeah. So even if he gets 10% of the carries, 10% of the catches, that's fine. He was productive with Danny Woodhead on the field.
No. Even more productive, actually. I think you misunderstood me. I'm not saying Melvin Gordon's value is going to go down. Melvin Gordon is Melvin Gordon. I think he's going to continue getting, 18 to 22 touches per, runs per game. Saying Dexter McCluster is going to be way more involved moving forward the next couple of weeks. He's going to be doing a lot more receptions. I think he's really going to fill out the Danny Woodhead role pretty well.
I'll make a board bet and I'll take it. Doesn't matter. Make any board bet on Dexter McCluster.
Okay. I'd say Dexter McCluster will double Melvin Gordon's receptions.
For what? Week? This next
moving
week?
Forward?
Yeah, moving forward.
For the rest of the season?
For the rest of the season.
Fucking take that in a heartbeat. Whoa. Yep. Okay.
Dexter McCluster will have double. That's the bet you're making?
Yep.
Yeah. That's what Dexter McCluster has been a non-factor that bet too with his entire career.
I think Dexter McCluster will be involved in the receiving game, but he's not going to have double the receptions of Gordon. I'm going on this bet with Armando.
You know what? Okay, hold on. I got some backup. Double might be a little much, but
too late. We took it.
Hold on. Okay. Oh yeah, I'll take it because I mean, Melvin Gordon only had 3 receptions week 2, and he had 4 week 3, and he didn't have any week 1, any receptions at all. At games, I think
you're saying full season. We're taking
that starting week 4. Absolutely, I'll take that with confidence.
Okay. All right.
No, week 3.
I say
starting week 4.
I say Dexter McCluster will not have double the bets of double the catches of Melvin Gordon going forward. That's Christian and Armando.
Okay. I'll be happy to win that one. It sounds crazy, but it's not. If you look at what Melvin Gordon's not a pass catcher, guys.
Yes, he's amazing when he catches the ball. When they give him the opportunity.
Yeah, when he gives him an opportunity. He doesn't get much opportunity, though.
And I believe he's somewhere in the middle. I think he's a 35 to 40 catch guy.
I will be surprised if Dexter McCluster stays on that roster the entire season.
We'll see. The Chargers relied on Danny Woodhead's role. I don't think Danny Woodhead was anything special. I think he's good. I don't think he was anything special.
Can we please not spend this much time on Dexter McCluster? It's an eat bet.
Thank
you.
Just say eat bet.
Eat bet.
Eat bet. Jump. Where's the water bottle?
I don't want to do it again.
Are we done?
Yeah. Follow our show at EatSleepFF. Check out our awesome writers, EatSleepFantasy.com. If you want to submit a question, head on over to EatSleepFantasy.com/questions or hit the questions tab, whatever. Our website's pretty easy to use. All right. We almost forgot here, Dale. Before we actually close the show, give us your rap.
I'm not really prepared for a rap just off the top of my head.
All right, B-Rabbit, let's go.
Do you have a beat for me or something? No. What was that?
That was my beat. I'm practicing all day.
All right, you ready? This is just off the top of my head, okay?
Hold on. All right.
Get it, Dale. Get it.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1. Go for it, Dale.
All right. Nah, I walk up in the club like, what up? I got a big cock. I'm so pumped from the shit that I got from the thrift shop. The ice on the fringe is so damn frosty that people like, damn, that's a cold-ass honky.
No, dude.
Rolling in hella deep, head into the mezzanine.
That's not your...
Dressing in all pink, except my gator shoes. Those are green.
Dude, this is not yours.
Draped in leopard mink, girl standing next to me. Probably should have washed this. Smells like R. Kelly's sheets.
This is a rack.
He's also just reciting Macklemore's.
No, that was... Sorry. Was it Macklemore? No, no, I don't think so. That was... I just thought of that.
Shit, it's like Macklemore. Food one, Dale. I think that one would have been good for you.
That was good. That was perfect.
That was good.
You guys like that rap? There's more coming.
Good night, everyone. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
All right. Have a good night, everyone.
You're just ending like that, huh?
He's ending.
Please follow us on Twitter at EatSleepFF. Go to our website, eatsleepfantasy.com. If you have a question, you can submit a question on our website. You can tweet at us. You can call us 507-69-SLEEP. Give us a call. Give us a call and leave us a voicemail. Really, you can say anything and we'll put you on air. So give us a call. And anything else, you guys?
Hashtag Eat Nation for your iTunes reviews. Take a snapshot. Tweet it at us with hashtag Eat Nation for, you know, pretty much we're going to be giving out shirts to someone. So.
Yeah, same.
Eventually they'll get shit
eventually.
Out.
That's Richard's job. He spent the money on those shirts.
Yeah.
I'm not paying you, Richard. Stop at asking for my money. Where is Richard? Did he die?